mention by David Ebal is titled The Righteous Branch.
The Righteous Branch is probably the title for tonight's lesson. What I'm going to try to do is to give you a quick oversight of the whole thing, and then we'll get into the details. We're going to discuss in some detail this particular chart about the church doubles, and you might expect that I'll be starting off in the book of, what book do you think? Book of Revelation. Where else? So I'll start in the book of Revelation. That's my springboard. We'll talk about the doubles and parallels in the book of Revelation. Then we're going to develop a concept about two witnesses. Does the book of Revelation talk about two witnesses? We'll talk about the two witnesses, and we'll show you who we believe the two witnesses are. That's a funny-looking lamb, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Hmm? Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven? Yeah, seven eyes are the seven lampstands, are the seven spirits of God. We'll be talking about that some more in detail, about those two witnesses. Now, this is the chart that you have, and I believe your chart looks something like that, except mine is in Technicolor. Is that right? We're going to start out with the concept, number one, the church doubles. We're going to try to show you that there is a double in the book of Revelation about the church, the heavenly church and the earth church. Then point two, we'll talk about the two witnesses. There's a double there as well, the two witnesses. And we're going to find out why we believe that the church is the candlestick. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Point three, then we're going to go into the concept of the branch and move from the candlestick into a branch. And we're going to find out the candlestick is called a branch. And why are we called a... Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the what? Branches. We're going to bring in some of those concepts, both from the Old Testament and New. We'll go into the Old Testament a little bit more for point three to get the concept from Jeremiah and Zechariah that he's going to raise a righteous branch. When you look in your Bible, some of you have Bibles like mine that has a little star in the Old Testament wherever the translators thought that this referred to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you why I think they've got the star in the wrong place on these scriptures, because I don't think these refer to Jesus. I believe these refer not to Jesus Christ, but the body of Christ. You'll see that a little bit more later. And so I'm not mad at the Bible. It's just some of the translation problems. We'll be talking about that. We'll go into Zechariah, and we'll discover about a man whose name is the branch. Did you know that in the Bible that even talks about a man? There's coming a man whose name is the branch. And we're going to find out what he has to do with this whole thing. Then we're going to get into righteousness and the study of righteousness, because on point four, now maybe I'll go back to point three for just a second. All these scriptures in point three have to do with a righteous branch, and all this in point three is our scriptures having to do with the branch. But on point four that we'll be studying, point four has to do with righteousness and what it is that makes the branch righteous. And we know that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we're going to find out what makes the branch righteous. Point five is a real a ringer. Judah, according to the Old Testament, shall be saved, and all Israel shall be saved. Well, as I look around, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Hmm? Come on. When you look around, it's a real hard one. Well, do you think they're going to be saved in spirit or soul or body? Well, most people are not ready for that because they just want man to get saved. Saved, saved. You know, brother, are you saved? Do you believe the gospel? Well, somebody asks you, do you believe the gospel? The first question, the first thing to say back is, which one? What do you mean, which gospel? Well, the Bible refers to two gospels, the gospel of the and the gospel of the uncircumcision. So you want to get that straight in your mind first, because to Peter was committed the gospel of the, and to Paul was committed the gospel of the, and these were different gospels, because the gospel of the circumcision is a mixture of law and grace. It's saying yes to Jesus plus having the Judaizers, right? And so the Judaizers come in and they say, now, brother, now that you've said yes to Jesus, you want to find further favor with God by what? You know, doing this and refraining from that and wearing this and staying away from that. These are the Judaizing Christians, and the Bible's cram-packed full of examples about these fellows who came in. Paul said they came in to spy out our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us back unto bondage. Paul said, I was subject unto them, no, not an hour, because he was on his ground. And when he was in his ground, he would not be subject to those Judaizers. But when he went back to Jerusalem, was he subject to them? Yes, because he was on their ground. Now, this is very important. When you're on your ground, you have a right to set any rule you want. The Bible says in Romans 14 that if you're with those who cannot eat meat, what's the Bible say? When you're with people who cannot drink wine? When you're with people who have to go to church on Sunday or Saturday or Friday? You get the idea? You're to keep the rules. So the Bible says whatever rules that you set in your local assembly, those are the rules to keep. But my friend, you're not finding favor with God, you're finding favor with man. And so this is a concept that we've got to see eventually. So when they came in to put him back under rules, he said, no, sir, we're keeping the rules that are already set for this group. This, you know, what was it, Galatia? And he said, this is where the rules are, and these are the rules that are set, and we keep our rules. But when he went back to Jerusalem, they said, thou seest, brother, how many Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So now he's back in Jerusalem. The Jews believe, but they're zealous of the law. We have four men which have a vow. Them taken be at charges with them. And you remember the rest? Paul even went so much back into the law, they offered the blood of sheep and goats. See, because he wasn't on his ground, he was back, you know, somewhere else. What are we saying? There are two gospels, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. And the church has been under the gospel of the circumcision for 2,000 years. It's about time that the church was moving into the gospel of the, where it's all grace. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus did that counts. We'll be talking about these gospels as well and building up. Okay, now let's go back here to the start of our lesson tonight, see what happens with the church doubles, the heavenly view and the earthly view. When we were studying the book of Revelation, we noticed that the book of Revelation separates, no, don't separate, don't say separate, we'll just say it folds, at the end of chapter 11 and starts at chapter 12 all over again. Chapters 1, 2, 3 are a picture of the church. Chapter 12 is a picture of the church. You remember that? Chapter 4 and 5, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Chapter 13, what's the opposite of Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Don't you remember that? You look very, you're right, devil, Antichrist, and false prophet. There's your devil's trinity and so forth. Well, I'm not going to give you a quick, a complete review on the doubles of the book of Revelation, but how many here have heard enough that, okay, there's. This is the heavenly church. Chapters 1, 2, 3 are a picture of the heavenly church, and chapter 12, I believe, is a picture of the earth church. Now it's called a sun-clothed woman standing on the moon, having 12 stars on her head, and she's in pain, travailing in pain. Why? Well, she's pregnant. And what does she want to bring forth? She's to bring forth a man-child. But the man-child is caught up to heaven, and he has a destiny to receive a rod of iron and to rule all the nations. Is that correct? This is the destiny of the man-child. I'm calling your attention to the fact that this is a double and a parallel. Chapter 1, 2, 3 are the heavenly church. God is speaking as though he was looking over the banisters of heaven, and he says to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and all those churches. He said, now look, I see you're good, I see you're bad, I know what it is. He said, straighten up, or else I'll remove your candlestick. This is the heavenly church, this is the heavenly view. But the earth church, earth church, to me what I'm talking about right now is brick and mortar, structure, denominationalism. Is that all right? Is anybody mad if I use that word? And the concept of a structured denomination that would be earthy in its, well, let's say it this way. This woman, after she brings forth the baby, is attacked by the devil. Is that right? Now, God gives her wings, and she flies to the, does anybody remember where she flies? To the wilderness. And the devil's now mad because she's brought forth the baby, and he can't get her or the baby, so he sends, what was it out of his mouth? Does anybody remember? A stream of water out of the mouth to drown the woman. But the earth opens up to receive all the water so she can't get hurt. Does anybody remember that? And it says that she is nourished by the earth. The earth church is nourished by the earth. So to me, I'd like to say this. The earth church I'm thinking of right now is the structured one you're thinking of. All bingo games, contests, that receives its nourishment from, well, you help me out. What else? All right, the social, Well, I'm not sure I want to go that far, but I'll go that way a little ways with you. That makes me wonder whether a revival has ever been successful, but that's another subject. I don't know that it's, you know, we're always looking for a revival, but have we ever had one, if you follow what I'm driving at there. Well, anyway, it's the concept of suppers, bingo games, raffles. Is that okay? We could even go back 465 years ago and call them indulgences. But whatever it was the sale. And would you admit that that's an earthy way to support this woman? You follow what I'm saying? This woman is now nourished by the earth. Now, here's something that is a little surprise when I found this out. See, I had always, because I was raised in the evangelical thing, I had always found a lot of fault with the people that were putting on their bingo games. But now that I've looked in the book of Revelation, I found out God says it's going to be this way. And for me to keep my mouth shut and quit fighting it, because there is an earth church and there's a heavenly church. The heavenly church, you see, most of us kind of think that we came to church tonight, but we didn't come to church tonight. The church came here. Is that all right? Is that right? We are the church, so we didn't come to church. The church came to this building or structure. So we don't, you see, I used to find fault with a lot of structured things, but now I can see that God has a plan for these structured things, and He even, in the book of Revelation, the last chapters, has that church around. So I'm going to say it again. This woman has a destiny, but her destiny is not to rule and reign. Her destiny is to be pregnant and bring forth the sons of God. How's that for you? See, the sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, they're the ones that are going to rule and reign, not the earth church. This is a little hard lesson to teach on Sunday morning. But, you know, most pastors think that they're the guys that are, you know, their denomination is the one that will be in the rapture and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm trying to get at is that the structured church is not the thing that's going to receive the rod to rule and reign. It's that which comes forth from the structured church. Is that okay? Do you follow what I'm driving at? So we don't find fault with structure. It's just that we need structure in order to produce the sons of God. Go ahead.
Well, is that the same as the liberal or the modern church?
Well,
you're talking about bingo, you're talking about some of these things that aren't closely associated with the evangelical fundamental church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they both in
that? I would say that. I would say that the modern, what we would call the mainline church, is definitely part of that. But I don't want to get away from the concept. You see, I was in an evangelical church where we offered bicycles for contests to come, you know, get people to come to Sunday school. And so I don't want to completely remove away from even the evangelical. I want, in a group like this, I never know. I could have evangelicals. I got all kinds of people here, so I want to talk to evangelicals who are offering bicycles and call you part of the... Is that okay? Or whatever our system is. Now, I don't want to get too involved in this, but it's to the point now where I don't even like to see these thermometers. You know what I'm talking about? These big posters. And I really don't even like to see the bulletin boards. How many we had last year and how many we had this year. And if you follow that kind of thinking, the basic thinking that goes on in this, because we're running a contest against ourselves. If you follow that. And see, I don't want to come on too strong because I don't want to be mad and put anybody down, but I hope you're following my basics. Is that all right? Yeah, that we're We're looking for all these systems, men's systems. That doesn't sound much like the Holy Ghost, does it? To to offer bicycles what else? What other prizes did we have? I remember that one time everybody who attended so many Sundays in a row had a chance to come to a banquet or something. You know, all on and on it goes. Is that okay?
But in spite of what you say, it worked.
Yeah.
It brought people under the gospel.
You see, this is what I'm trying to get at. Because the woman has been definitely brought on the earth by God. And whereas a while back I was opposed to it, now I'm trying to tell you that those systems are definitely part of God's plan. See, I was opposed to raffling a Mustang or a Pinto. You've seen the Pintos out in the front of the churches, haven't you? And I was opposed to that. Now I see that she must be nourished by the earth. So where else can she get her nourishment but through earthly systems? Is that making sense to you on this? And so I find out that that's just the way it is. So I find no fault with it, whereas I used to think that there was something wrong. But you see, those who are in the system think that they're the ones that are going to rule and reign, and it's only that which comes forth from, that is, that which is birthed by the system. You see, would you admit that the man-child was a part of the woman? Would you admit that every one of us have been a part of a structured system? See, I had to be a part. Without that structure, there'd have been no place for me to go to hear about Jesus. You see that? And so I'm not finding fault. Without the structure, we wouldn't even have this auditorium to meet in here tonight, you see. So we find no fault with structure, but we definitely want to put a label on it and show that the destiny of the structure is not to rule and reign. The destiny of the structure is to be pregnant. Well, let's keep going. Am I making sense so far about this woman, you see, the earth woman? But let me talk about the good guys. Not that these are bad guys, but the heavenly view of the same thing. The seven-branch candlestick. And we're going to talk about that and find out in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Someone read that for me, please. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. I want to settle that right in my mind right now. What does this symbolize? Give it to me.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Let's say it again, the very last phrase, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest, say it,
are the seven
churches. The candlesticks are the seven churches. Well, we know that a golden candlestick is not a church. Would you agree that this is a symbol? The seven candlesticks are symbols for the seven churches. We'll talk about candlesticks in a little while, and you know that the word lampstand also is mostly correct. Is that all right? Candlestick makes us think that somebody's got wax and a wick. But it's really a lampstand. Didn't you know that? Well, it is. It's more of a lampstand than a candlestick. Now let's go to the second concept quickly, and that has to do with it, two witnesses and these candlesticks or lampstands. And I'm going to try to show that the seven churches are the seven candlesticks, are the seven lampstands, are the seven eyes, are the seven spirits, and it's all equal to the same thing. Now, let me say that again. This is what we're going to try to show. That the seven candlesticks, our seven lampstands, our seven churches, our seven spirits, our seven eyes, etc., etc. So go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 for the first attempt at this. See, we got to build line upon line and precept upon precept. Who's got 4, 5?
I do.
Okay.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Now, would you agree with me that the seven lamps of fire that are burning before the throne are the seven spirits? Is that what he read? Chapter 4, verse 5. The seven lamps are the seven spirits. Now, give it to me in 5:8. I'm sorry, 5:6.
I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
Okay, now do you have it in a modern Bible? Does anybody have a modern version right here where it says the seven eyes are the seven spirits? Betty, what's your say?
Same thing.
Does it say sevenfold?
No.
All right. It's good enough. Which are the seven spirits. There are some modern Bibles which call it the sevenfold spirits. We'll tell you why we believe that's mostly more correct than the other. But the seven eyes are the seven spirits. Is that what it says? Now we found out that the seven lamps were the seven spirits. Now we find the seven eyes are the seven spirits. Is it too much to believe that if the lamps are the spirits and the eyes are the spirits, then the lamps are the eyes? Is that stretching it too much? If A equals B and C equals B, does A equal C? Has anyone here ever had any algebra? Just enough to remember. All right. If two things are equal to the same thing, they're equal to themselves. Is that okay? So we find the seven lamps are the seven spirits. We find the seven eyes are the seven spirits. So the lamps and the eyes must be the same thing. Now I'm going to give you some more scripture in a little while to prove to you that they are the same. But you admit, would you agree with me now that there are certainly a strong deductive reasoning to believe that they are the same thing? So that's why we've drawn the picture of the lamb with the candlesticks, with the eyes, which are the flames, and it's all called the seven spirits of God. Which are the seven churches. And one more thing. If the seven candlesticks are the seven churches, then is it too much to believe that the seven churches are the seven spirits? Let me try it another way. I expect when I meet you to find Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I expect, when I am with the body of Christ, to have ministered unto me the sevenfold Spirit of God. Is that okay? And where is it coming from? Where is it being manifest from? Yes, that's the Holy Spirit, but what does it come through? That's what the church. It comes through the church. Now the church, now let's go to the next picture. The church is called the candlestick. Is that correct? The church is the candlestick, the lampstands. They are the church. And we are the church. And we should be exhibiting the sevenfold Spirit of God. So let's talk about that sevenfold Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11. We ought to start with verse 1 and 2 about Jesse. Start in verse 1 and then go on into 2. Now, we got a lot of Bible flipping tonight, but I think that you'll see why. And I think it's good, and I don't think anybody will be offended by all the Bible reading that we're doing tonight. Who's got it? Isaiah 11, 2. Go ahead.
And there, Isaiah 11, 2.
No, start with 1. Excuse me.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
Okay, well now in my Bible there's a little asterisk on the side that says that refers to Jesus, but that makes me wonder if it refers to Jesus or not. Because the Spirit of Lord is of the Lord is resting on the what? The branch. And we know in John, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Except you abide in me, you see, you'll do nothing. So then the branch must abide in the vine, but the vine abides in the root, and the root is Jesse, which we would call the Old Testament. That would be David. You follow the parallel. the offspring of David or Jesse. So we find that the root starting out there now supports the vine, Jesus Christ, and he supports the branch, and out of the branch comes the fruits of the Spirit. Is that okay? Now let's talk about a branch. Where do the fruits appear? On the vine or on the branch? On the branch. And the branch, hold on, actually produces the fruit. Is that correct? But it can't produce the fruit without the sap. We're going to find out that the sap is called olive oil, symbolically. And olive oil has always been a symbol for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see why it's so important to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because the letter, but the Spirit gives life. So we're going to find out that when this lampstand has no oil, it has no light. Is that all right? But it has a form of godliness. One talent of solid beaten gold. You remember all that in Exodus? It says when you're to build a lampstand, here's where he says. Now hold on to your hat. There's a difference between Exodus and Zechariah concerning the lampstand. Exodus calls it a six-branch lampstand. Zechariah calls it a seven-branch lampstand, but it's the same lampstand. Here's why. Six equals seven. No offense to the algebra teacher, but here's the way it works. He said in Exodus, thou shalt build a lampstand, and it shall have four noops and flowers. One, two, three, four. The noops and flowers are called almond buds, which, by the way, all almonds are doubles, or the word almond is twin, and I like that one, you know why, because we believe in the God speaks twice. And between each of the almonds, there'll be a branch. What word am I emphasizing? A branch that comes forth from this, and there'll be three on one side and three on the other. There'll be six branches. And on these six, you are to place the lamps. And the seventh lamp will be on the candlestick. Thou shalt build a candlestick, and the candlestick will have six branches, but it'll be a seven-branch candlestick. Now let me try it another way. That old English, well, it wasn't always the old English. It was some of the other problems. Here's the way he said it. Now when you build me this tent over the tabernacle, I want fine twine linen, 4 cubits wide and 28 cubits long. Make me a curtain 4 cubits wide and 28 long. Make 5 of those curtains and couple them together, and this shall be a curtain unto thee. Take 5 more of those curtains, couple them together, and this shall be a curtain unto thee. Take the 2 curtains of 5 each and couple them with loops of blue and 50 tashes of gold. You remember all this? And this whole thing shall be a curtain unto thee. Did you follow what I said? So that the little thing is a curtain, the half thing is a curtain, and the whole thing is a... That's the way they said it. So in the book of Exodus, when he was building the candlestick, the center thing was the candlestick, and the branches were the 6 branches of the candlestick, and it made a 6-branch candlestick, but the center thing made the 7th branch. Is that okay? And in Zechariah and other places, we'll find the 7-branch candlestick, which is the same candlestick. So when we read in chapter 11, verse 2, did you read that yet?
In Isaiah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see if that's on here. Yep, there's wisdom. Go ahead.
Understanding.
All right, that's the other one.
Spirit of counsel and might. Is that on there?
Yeah, there's might.
The Spirit of knowledge. Fear of the Lord.
There are the 6, and they're joined into the 7th called the Spirit of the Lord. And it rests upon him. And back up, who's the him refer to? Well, wait a minute. Read it. Read verse 1 now.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
All right. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What's the him refer to? Go back one step. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon the branch.
please stop your machine and turn cassette over.